So this is the last regular meeting, meaning when you're doing new stuff, because the only remaining lab meeting next week from today, is the practicum. And keep in mind that the last page of the manual lists things that you should know for the practicum. It's a so-called study guide. So keep an eye on that. But the practicum is a test. It's worth a lot more than quizzes. But it's what makes it a practicum is that it's kind of interactive. So there will be tables will be set up as stations. Each station represents one of the weeks of the term. So you have to know about the whole term. That's why you've filled things out in your manual along the way without handing them in. That's your study source. So know what you did each week, why it was important. You don't have to memorize data or anything like that. But it'll be about the entire term. And just don't be late for that. There is no quiz left, but you have to be on time for the practicum as well. As for today, there's two things left that you need to do. One of which is to make sense of the trays. That's the meiosis modeling. And we just barely learned enough in lecture for that to make sense. Hopefully that'll make sense for you today. It's just a matter of looking at the trays and figuring out which subphase of meiosis each tray represents. So ask if you're not sure, but talk that out. And the other thing is the rebops exercise, which is why you have these laminated strips sitting out. An entire bunch clamped together of laminated strips represents the genome. Genome is a complete genetic library found in a cell of an organism. The organism is fictitious. It's a rebop. Rebops look like this, and that's what you're building today. They're not all identical, of course, just like other species, but that's what they look like. Anyway, this is the genome for one individual rebop, and you have two different ones, right? A blue one and a yellow one. One of each sex as you go through this exercise. Now, unfortunately, we actually haven't learned all of this stuff in lecture yet, so it won't make perfect sense to you until later when you get this again in lecture. But you'll still be able to go through it. I just want to say some things that I haven't mentioned in lecture yet just to make sure they make sense today. So this is the genome for one parent, the yellow one's for another parent. And when you take it apart, you'll notice that there are several strips, but what does each strip represent? What? No. Each strip represents a chromosome. Remember that each species has some number of chromosomes, right? Some number of different types of chromosomes. Well, the different types of chromosomes in this model are represented by different lengths, just like they are in a karyotype. And when you look at these, you'll notice that there's two of the shortest, two of the next shortest, and so on. So that signifies the fact that this is a diploid organism, right? This is a diploid cell because there's two of each kind of chromosome. That's what it means to be diploid. Now, each individual chromosome, in reality, carries thousands of genes. But there's only one listed on each of these because it's the only one we're paying attention to on each chromosome. And that's what the letter stands for. What we haven't talked about, but you probably know just from the pre-lab quiz, is that there are categories of genes, and those are represented by a specific letter, but there can be different versions of the same gene, and that's what we call alleles. And you can see that in the model by the fact that the A gene, for instance, can occur either as a capital A or a lowercase a on these strips. Okay, so there's different versions of the same gene possible in a population. And each of these individuals is different. These blue ones aren't all identical. It depends on which one you get. But anyway, that's what all of this represents. And this is a diploid individual. So you can understand the relationship between genes and traits, which of course is indirect, right? It's because genes indirectly determine proteins and proteins determine traits, like we've talked about. But you can understand the relationship when you look at the table that's on page 168. And the only other thing I need to tell you now that we'll talk more about in lecture is the difference between genotype and phenotype. A genotype is a symbolic listing of a cell's alleles. So you can tell that from looking at your strips. There's two L's that you find on the shortest two, and it depends on what you have. But there's three possibilities: two uppercase L's, two lowercase L's, or one of each. Right? That's a genotype. Upper L, upper lower L, or lower L is a genotype. That's a listing of alleles symbolically. Phenotype is a wordy description of the actual trait, like having two wings or whatever. Okay, that's the difference between genotype and phenotype. And the table shows you how genotypes correspond to phenotypes, which is what's going to allow you to look at your genotypes that you're given in your strips and build the organism with the correct phenotypes according to the table. But then you also go through with a meiosis exercise, which creates gametes. You're mating these two parents, basically, by creating gametes from each and creating a zygote. So go through it, talk it out, make sense as much as you can today, and then it'll make even more sense, as I said, when we get to the particulars in lecture. It doesn't. You mean as far as meiosis trays or that? Oh, the rebops, just do it right as listed, right from the start. But you can just make sure before you leave you do the trays as well. And that is it.